going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Well, listen to this. We've got a keyword for you to enter over at ESPN1320.com right now. Your chance to win Kenny's Riches here, courtesy of the Jump Shot Jackpot giveaway, courtesy of Folsom Lake Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, home of the big guy Vince Bloom. Enter the keyword buckets right now over at 1320, ESPN1320.com. Enter the keyword buckets right now over at ESPN1320.com. We pick one winner every single day. This is your chance to win a $500 e-Visa gift card. We'll have another opportunity for you to win tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. With the Insiders. Also, friendly reminder, the Insiders will be live once again coming up at 4 o'clock. They'll be doing their show. They'll be doing a live draft preview show. Not sure why they're not streaming. Kyle and I didn't get to the bottom of that as to why there's no video presentation of it. But you can certainly listen on the Odyssey app or on 1320 AM if you choose.
It's going to be a good look.
That's awesome. Look. Yeah, that's great. Good for those guys.
You know what else is a good look? Jalen Brunson tonight at 28.5 points. I'm going more. James Harden. 22.5 points. I'm going more.
What do you have? 18?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he had, I think,
a bounce back game.
High 20s in game
one. Yep.
Nikola Jokic, points, rebounds, and assists, 49. I'm going less. Jaren Jackson, 5.5 rebounds. I'm going more. Ja Morant, 6 assists. I'm going more. If you want to do the same thing, you can go ahead, download the Prize Picks app. Put in the promo code KIFM to get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. That's promo code KIFM to get $50 no matter whether you win or lose with that first $5 lineup as long as you put that promo code in. You must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks, run the game. Collins is on the board.
Ridiculous. All of this is so ridiculous. I don't know what's more ridiculous. Your stupid run your game league or the fact that you just keep doing these Prize Picks reads for free.
Well, they sent the email today.
They start next week, Kenny. You've got to read the whole email.
I saw that, but I'm just trying to make sure.
No, that's a good hey, sure. Hey, we rock with Prize Picks all day. We rock with Prize Picks all day. The 49ers have 11 picks in this draft. 11, not 11. 11. That's how many it is. They have 11 picks in this draft. 2 in the third, 2 in the fourth. They've got to, you know, to tie in the Los Angeles Rams conversation we were having a moment ago. They've got to hit a couple of, you know, solid, you know, maybe a home run here or a triple. They need a strong performance here in this draft because they have an older roster, and we know that, you know, George Kittle pushed back a little bit on a Diana Rossini report that came out today. Diana said that he's looking to be, I think she said that Kittle's looking to be the highest paid tight end, and laid out the numbers and all of that. And George Kittle just responded simply with, your sources are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But Kittle was not at voluntary workouts that started earlier this week. So there are things to watch with him, regardless of, you know, what happens with his contract status. He's older. And I think we all think, because of the physical nature in which he plays, he's on the decline. You have the situation with Brandon Ayuk, where Brandon Ayuk is probably out most of the season. You guys brought up Trent Williams a few minutes ago. I think you still got solid time with Fred Warner, but you have other positions you need to fill. There was a lot of, I mean, John Lynch, correct me if I'm wrong, when free agency started and we saw 49ers just kind of leaving, we started to speculate that the 49ers are the draft. That's how they're going to get better.
Yeah.
And I think John confirmed as much. I don't know if he used those exact words, but I know he said something along the lines of, we're going to get better through the draft. That's how we're going to fill some of these position gaps. And it's a strategy. It's a strategy that can work, as you laid out with the Los Angeles Rams a minute ago. But when you publicly declare that's your strategy, you better hit.
Yeah.
You better have some guys that people are talking about coming out of their rookie seasons next year.
And it's one of those things where I think John was being like super honest about it and just being real about it. Like, this is what it is with this group right now. It's time to retool. We had that group that we had before. They've pretty much, and you've seen with some of the people who aren't here anymore, and even some of the guys that are still here, they've reached the brink. Like, it's done with that group. It's time to retool. And the Rams example that we used is probably best case scenario, because they had the same thing. They had the Aaron Donalds that were there, and the Leonard Floyds and Cooper Kupps and all these other guys who got them a championship. That was a nice run for them.
It's also how the Steelers live too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Through the draft.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's times when you have to, you just got to retool. And the Niners are at the point with this roster where it's time to retool. And you do that through the draft. Because you have so many good players on those type of contracts, it's hard to do it during free agency because you don't have a lot of cap space. And you got this Brock Purdy thing around as well. So you're going to have to go back into that draft, find you, no disrespect, but find you a new Ayuk, find you a new Kittle, find you a new Dre Greenlaw, something like that. I don't want to say they're going to be those guys, but you found those guys in the draft. Those guys were developed by you. It's time to try and do it again as best you can. Debo, guys like that.
I hate you so much.
What'd I do?
Who won your stupid?
Well, I was going to give it time because there has been a new ruling. A new ruling.
Okay, the new ruling meaning you were wrong.
I was wrong. The one I had with Collins, it said, run your word. That is not the correct phrase. So you go down to the next one, and it's Zay. Another win for Zay. He's back on the board. He now has 7. He's got a 4-game lead in the RYGL over Kyle.
This league.
Collins, you are not on the board. Collins, you tried to make up for it. Sorry, you were a little late.
Collins,
sorry.
You're suspended for Friday's game. You are suspended. Collins, what is run your word? Collins is suspended for Friday's game of run your game. I'm sorry, Collins. You're suspended. This league is as crooked as KC's PWL performance.
Zabo's got 7. Kyle has 3. Hoffa, Johnny, Soren, and Maxwell.
By the way, Maxwell was in the chat earlier. Maxwell is here. Maxwell was here.
Maxwell, they've been trying to slander your name, man. They said you weren't real.
No, Maxwell's real, man. He's here. He's here.
Yeah, Collins. Sorry, brother. And that's my bad. I went back to the video. And no, that was an offensive foul.
That's why Collins has been suspended for Friday's game. Excessive flopping.
Good times, good times, man.
What
you think about Vegas, though? Do you think it is best player available for them, or is there something specifically they need to target at that sixth spot? I think it's
BK. Yes. You think it's best player available?
Yeah.
I think for the Raiders, in all likelihood, the best player available is going to be of a position of need anyways. Mm. So you're going to be able to kill two birds with one stone in that regard.
Or like I said, except a quarterback. I don't think you draft Shador or Jackson Dart or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think you do either, at least not with six.
Mm.
Like if you want to. You know,
get somebody in the second, little, third round.
Get a little, you know, crazy there. But you know, if the brother from Boise State is there, do it, man.
Mm.
Like, you need playmakers. I know you need linemen. I know you need the trenches. I know you need the offense, the defense. You lacked playmakers so bad last year. It was so glaring. And I like Geno. I was a fan of what Geno did in Seattle. I'm a big fan of Geno's little turnaround. I don't mean that to minimize it. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of Geno's turnaround. I'd like to, get him. I know you need help on the lines. I know you want help on the defense. I think a solid playmaker, particularly a running back.
Yeah.
Like if the playmaker there is a wide receiver, maybe I don't go that route. Mm. Because the only reason being is I think a great running back can add to how – I think that can help protect you as a quarterback.
Right.
If your offensive line isn't strong enough, a great wide receiver can't do enough for you. Mm-hmm. Because you got to get him the ball.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that protection on the offensive line and you can't take advantage of a wide receiver skill set, I don't think you're doing yourself a ton of good there. Unless you've got a solid plan the rest of your draft to fix that, you know, to fix that part of your offense, then I'll trust you guys to do that. But regardless of whether they go wide receiver, running back, or someone on the line, they need so much that if you go best player available, the chances are that position is going to be something you need.
Yeah, I got you.
I want that team to be better this year.
I think if Genty is there, I can't imagine.
You have to take him.
Yeah.
You have to take him.
Especially the way they talk about him. This is a generational guy.
You absolutely have to take him.
And he looks the part, too. You look at him in college, but I've seen like some of his pro day work, and it just looks different.
What I don't understand is why would he be there? And is it the running back syndrome that people are scared of? Like, oh, we don't need to take a running back that high when we need – an edge rusher, or we need whatever.
I think those guys ahead of them, at least the four.
And they're good.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
They're next level.
Yeah.
So you go get those guys. Five.
Well, you got Travis.
You got Travis. You got Carter.
And then kid from Penn State. Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, I also put Shador in there. But if it's not Shador, I guess you start at four. Like I don't know why the Patriots wouldn't take him.
Yeah.
The Patriots are in the same position as the Raiders. They need everything, too.
Right.
So, and you're getting a guy of Vrabel in there as the coach who might want to lean on the running game a little bit.
But they're probably looking at protection for their young quarterback. That might be the difference between the Raiders and the Patriots. Mm-hmm. The Patriots quarterback is young.
Yeah.
The Raiders quarterback is a little more seasoned, more experienced. There's probably a few things in the NFL he could deal with a little bit better than Dre Meg might.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We'll shift our attention back to basketball. We'll shift our attention back to the Sacramento Kings. We'll talk to our man, Matt George, ABC, Locked On Kings. He joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. I'm going to shoot old Matt George a text. The last time he missed the last time he had joined us like earlier in the week, and he probably got busy and forgot.
Yeah.
And then he got mad at me for not reminding him because he was just sitting at the house. He's like, how come you didn't text me? I was like, man, it's cool. I wanted to chill. So I need to at least send the note like, hey, Matt, you good for today?
While we're waiting for Matty McQueen, man, just want to give a shout out and prayers up to Elijah Arenas.
Mm.
Hearing that story today, him being in a car accident. The doctors put him in a coma, I think, to – just I they didn't really expand on it, but just to help him out, I guess. But yeah, that's a scary situation.
Yeah.
And you know, you never want to see anybody, basketball player or not, in something like that. But kid's got a really bright future, and we just hope this doesn't hinder it, man. So prayers up to Elijah Arenas and his whole family, man.
I'm
just scary.
Far more concerned about the young brother's life than his basketball career right now, man. Like a man, I don't know. I hope he's able to bounce back, man, because that sounded pretty tough this morning. And while I'm not a fan, certainly prayers up to Gilbert Arenas and his whole family. Young brother was here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, man, for the state championship. Put a heck of a display on, even though they weren't able to get the win. He looked fantastic, looked great as a leader, and, just a good teammate. So he seemed like a good kid, man, and like you said, outside of basketball, this guy's got a lot of life to live. So hope everything's okay and he can live that life.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Of course, the NFL draft beginning here about 5 o'clock. The Insiders will be back on your radio.
Yeah, man.
Coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. They are live. They are live somewhere. doing their show, previewing the NFL draft. So that's pretty dope for them, man. And it'll be on the radio. It'll be on the app, the Odyssey app. So if you haven't downloaded that, I know we don't talk about it as much as we used to, but download the Odyssey app and you can check out the Insiders and their draft preview show coming up at the very top of the 4 o'clock hour. Sent Matt George a text. Hopefully he'll be able to join us here in just a few minutes. I know he has a lot of opinions. I'm curious if anything that Scott Perry said yesterday changed the way Matt felt about the process in which the Sacramento Kings took to hire Scott Perry. Of course, Matt was not particularly thrilled with the way things went last week. He thought it was, he thought the process of everything was not a good look.
Yeah.
And so I'm anxious to hear if Scott Perry said anything that may have swayed him a little bit, or if he's in full wait and see mode.
My guess would be, and he'll tell us for sure, but my guess is I think Matt is so out on Vivek that nothing will sway that right now. I don't think there's anything
understandable
that will sway him on that. And he's yes, not alone. There's a lot of people that feel that same way about Vivek and the ownership. Like, I understand, I'm not scolding anybody, but when I put out something on Twitter about, hey, I think Scott Perry is really good. You know, he's a good GM. He's a respected guy, all this other stuff. The amount of people who tweet me back, like, it's the first time I've heard this. Yeah, if Vivek gets out of the way, then everything. Got it. Okay. Thank you. I've heard that 20 times already. I know. But I say that to say.
Not an original thought either, by the way. Not an original thought.
But I say that to say the way Matt may feel about it is the way a lot of people feel about this and feel about Vivek, and it's understandable.
Let's ask him because he's here. Our good friend Matt George of the Locked On Kings podcast and, of course, of ABC 10. Matthew, what are you celebrating?
Giants take the lead. 2 in the 8th. Take the lead over the Brewers. Yo, let's drop the ball and left.
Was that Marv Albert? What was that?
What? Yeah, that's generic that announcer.
Oh, generic announcer voice. Okay, well.
That was his rock. I'm
pretty sure. Oh, Jesus. Well.
Matt George. You already know. Hey, look, I've told you we've got 6 months.
I can't
6 months to get this thing done. All right? And you already know I'm going to stay out of the way because you've got it. You've got it now. Locked On Kings, you've got it. ABC 10, you've got it now. I'm going to stay out of the way. You got 6 weeks. 6 weeks to get this done.
You know, I actually think it's kind of getting a little bit better.
Come on, yeah, I mean, come on. You heard
Matt,
it. He closed his
man.
Eyes. He heard
come
the
on,
rock.
Matt.
He
no,
heard the rock.
Like, there's moments. There's moments
don't
where.
Don't do this to me, Matt.
There's moments where I can smell it. I can smell what's cooking.
Okay. All right, man. Thanks, Matt.
Call
Thanks
me DJ
a lot for that. Oh, God damn it. Matt, did Scott Perry, we outlined a moment ago that you were critical of the process of firing Monty McNair and, you know, essentially waking up and hiring Scott Perry. Did anything Scott said yesterday change your opinion on that, sway your opinion, lighten your opinion? Did anything that Scott Perry said yesterday change the way you felt going into that press conference?
Not really, because the problem was never to me Scott Perry, or the issue for me was never the Scott Perry hire. It was just the process by which they went about hiring him so quickly without doing a search. I thought Scott's press conference was really, really, really good. If it's possible, like, to win a press conference, I thought he won the press conference. I thought he said all the right things. I thought his energy was fantastic. I thought he was optimistic. He drove the right points home. I think the fact that he leaned heavily on his experience and his connections and his contacts around the league, I think it's like the main star on his resume or the main feather in his cap. So that was encouraging to hear. But I mean, words are words, and I'm sure we'll talk about it over the course of this show. Like, there are times that Scott Perry was speaking and it sounded exactly like Mike Brown when Mike Brown was here. So it's like, okay, well, I mean, let's do it again. Maybe it'll be different this time because you're a general manager and not a head coach. So I was happy with the press conference. I was encouraged by the things that Scott Perry was saying, but ultimately now it's time to see results. But you're not going to see anything the first day or during a press conference. That's the time for speaking, the time for talking. So there's certainly, I didn't leave the press conference at all feeling any worse. And I didn't necessarily leave the press conference feeling bad either. It just felt, okay, here we go. It's kind of a fresh start. Let's do it again.
Speaking to the process of it all, and I understand wanting a certain way that you go about making a move that's this important. But what if I told you or presented to you, like, Vivek, he knew 7 years ago Scott Perry was the guy, and he lost them. He lost them. And now Scott Perry was available after this didn't work. And like, this is the guy. This was the guy that was supposed to be here back 7 years ago and was going to turn everything around. And we lost him due to his dream job. Now we have an opportunity to do it. I just believe this is the guy. Like, I don't really need to interview or search or do all this other stuff. This is the guy. And that's the reason why he went it that way. Would that make you feel a little different, or are you still like, even if you feel that way, still do a search?
Yeah, no, because I have no reason to believe that Vivek Ranadive's judgment is good. Like, if he, oh, this is the guy I've wanted all along. Cool. Like, the guys that you've wanted, whether it's players, coaches, pretty much everything, really haven't worked out. So, like, again, Perry is not the issue to me. It's never been Perry. It's just the process. But like, why didn't you do a search? Why didn't you? If you came to the same conclusion, fantastic. But I mean, it's just me more being just a stickler to the process and wanting the Kings to do everything by kind of by the book and by the way that I think everybody else would do it and not their own way of doing it. If the result was the same, the result was the same. And I will give them credit for not wasting any time. I mean, they went out and did it. And then Scott Perry sounds like not going to waste any time with his head coach search. Hopefully get it done a week or maybe even less, maybe a slightly bit longer, which I called for making decisions and making moves quickly this summer so it doesn't linger for a long time. So at least they're accomplishing that. But I mean, the whole root of the problem is in a distrust or lack of faith in the decision making of the organization. So there's always going to be a level of skepticism with whatever decision they make, whether they came to the Scott Perry conclusion by normal circumstances or not. I think I would have felt the same way about Scott, but always felt like, okay, like, I think there's just a natural level for me and for a lot of people of like disbelief in that it's going to work because we've seen the last 12, 13 years.
So real quick though, to that point, the search doesn't matter. Like whether they have a search or not doesn't matter. He could have had a perfect search. You don't believe in him.
No, the search does matter because, again, to me, doing things the way that I think everybody else would do it and taking the time necessary to at least have conversations with other people, I think that would, like, the process is important to me. If the Kings execute the process correctly or in a way that I think everybody else would, and then the Pelicans hire a general. And look, oh, yeah, and they're a good example. They're in a great spot.
I'm just pointing out they didn't.
But also, I'm saying, like you said, you don't trust who Vivek thinks is right because he doesn't get anything right. So it doesn't matter if he did a month-long search. If he thought that was the guy that was right, you'd be like, I don't believe you because you're always wrong. That's kind of my point.
I think there's always going to be a level of skepticism with any decision Vivek Ranadive makes because of his track record. I think that's completely normal, completely healthy, and completely understandable. I don't think he's earned a clean slate. He hasn't. But he gets credit, too, for making the right decision. Like, I credit him for the Scott Perry decision. I think the thing that Vivek and ownership did right on this decision is that they went out and got a vet.
Yeah.
Like, the last three hires were first-time GMs.
Mm-hmm.
He went out and got a vet. Like, I give him credit for that, and that's where I said Scott driving that point home really benefited the image for everybody. Like, I it's almost like calling it a politician has, like, a negative connotation, but Scott Perry separated himself from the competition and therefore separated Vivek's hire from the competition or from the past because it's clearly different in this one marquee area, and it's a very, very big area. It's like my respect, my reputation around the league, my connections everywhere. I've been in this league a very, very long time. And that is promising because that's different. That's new. Vivek gets credit for that. I'm not saying everything that Vivek touches like dies and is bad. That's not even remotely true. But every decision that this ownership group makes is going to be met with a certain level of skepticism until they actually produce results beyond just 1 year. And even then, it's not fair, but it's the reality. If they start getting results, Scott Perry is going to be the first guy that's looked at. And then there's also now going to be another step to this, which is, okay, let's say Scott Perry in a year or two gets them back to the playoffs and they lose in the first or second round. Okay. Now it's like, okay, now show me that it's not going to completely fall apart a year or two later.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what you've created for yourself. I think it's only natural. I don't think it's malicious. I don't think it's overly negative. I think it's the reality of the situation of what you've created for yourself here in Sacramento. And like they say, the cliche, winning cures everything. Well, hopefully Scott Perry can be the cure.
What, you weren't the first person who noticed similarities between things that Scott Perry said and things that Mike Brown once said. Was there something in particular that made you feel like, oh, heard this before and it wasn't that long ago?
Yeah, it wasn't like direct words, but Mike was very focused on the soul of the organization and everybody being on the same page and everybody like there being a unity on all levels of the organization. And just Perry's words, I thought, echoed that same vision, talking about everybody, you buying a mirror for everybody. He was mainly talking about himself and the players, but he's talking about all levels of the organization. Everybody looks in the mirror and makes sure they're doing everything they can to execute this joint vision that everybody has for the organization. I just thought it was very similar. The things that I was most skeptical about in the press conference were like when Perry was answering the question from Sean Cunningham about his comments on Zach LaVine. He said, I'm a straight shooter. I call it like it is. Like, and people, I think people appreciate that about me because they know it comes from a good place. Okay. So you're a straight shooter. He brought up the word, he used the word accountability a number of times in that press conference. The last guy to do that got fired for his process of trying to hold people accountable. Now that was a head coach, not a general manager. Maybe it's different this time, but I know for a fact there are people in this organization on all levels that don't necessarily like being held accountable or don't necessarily practice what they preach. They use accountability as a buzzword, but in the process of being held accountable by a straight shooter that might be saying things that they don't like, whether it's publicly or privately, and what Perry said was extremely public about Zach LaVine, people might not like that and throw fits about that. So the skepticism to me there is, I mean, I think accountability is absolutely needed in the organization. I'm hoping Perry can be the one to deliver it as the boss in terms of basketball operations. But these are words that we've heard floated around this organization for 5, 6 years. And it feels like every time there was an attempt at accountability, it wasn't always carried out. So that was those are the things that I was probably most skeptical about out of that press conference. Not anything to do with ownership or anything to do with Perry. More just the, all right, this is the vision you want to execute. We've had these conversations before. Maybe let's see if Perry can actually be the one to make the difference.
And I think with Perry having that type of mindset and trying to bring that into the organization, because much like you, I don't think there's anything wrong with Mike Brown or anybody else trying to hold these guys accountable. But there's a way that you present that accountability. There's a way that you go about things yourself when you're trying to hold others accountable that people look at and people react and react to. And I don't know everything that happened, and I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong and I'm not taking a side, but I am looking at, it's not one person that was upset with Mike Brown.
Right.
There were multiple people that I don't know what he did that was different. I don't know what he did. I don't know what he did, what he said, what was going on, and I'm not even saying they're right. But it wasn't just one person that had a problem with him. So I think his presentation, just me speculating, may have been an issue. Some of the things that were looked at as being, hey, I'm being accountable, it might have been looked at as, I know more than you, or I'm better than you because of my history. And I think Scott Perry will be mindful of when he does look to hold people accountable, the way that he holds them accountable, the way that he presents his message, because that may play a role into how that message gets across to these people.
I agree. I also don't think you need to walk on eggshells around players that don't get the job done or who are on a mediocre or average team.
Well, I don't think it's walking on eggshells. It's just how you work with people, like how you do it. Like, it's, you don't have to walk on eggshells to earn somebody's trust or to earn a relationship where you can be critical of somebody or something like that by the way that you go about things yourself and the way that you handle things. So it's not necessarily eggshells. It's just being aware of how you present what you're trying to get across.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you think what Perry said about Zach LaVine was wrong in any kind of way or
no, bad? I don't think so either. I think that's been overblown from the start. I thought it was perfectly fair, and people were like, well, damn, he's talking crazy about Zach LaVine. I didn't think he was talking crazy about Zach LaVine. He was saying real stuff, and I think that's something because of what he said. You mentioned it perfectly the other day, Damian. If you were Scott Perry and you talked to Zach LaVine, that'd be an easy conversation to have because it wasn't malicious. It wasn't a personal attack. It was just looking at what his career has been and recognizing his strengths and how do we move from you being just this guy to be a winning ball player. And I thought that's been overblown from the start, but that's maybe the way I looked at it.
Well, follow-up question. Do you think Perry would ever say the same thing now that Zach LaVine's on his team?
Would he say the same thing now that he's on?
Whether it's publicly or privately, would he say the same thing about Zach LaVine now that Zach LaVine, he runs a team with Zach LaVine on it?
I don't think he would say that publicly. That would be stupid. I think privately he would.
Yeah, I think he would too.
And are we confident that Zach LaVine would take that well?
I don't know. I don't know Zach LaVine, but I don't know.
I think if you sit down and have a conversation with Zach LaVine, like I don't think it's a combative conversation between Scott Perry and Zach LaVine. I think you can explain those comments rather easily. Mm-hmm. Whether
every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Whether Scott Perry still feels that way or feels that's where he's best suited, it's probably more of, we've got a roster to put together that we feel like you can be a marquee part of. We've got a roster we got to put together. We feel like you can be even the leading scorer of. Leading scorer doesn't always mean the best player, but we're going to have like a lot of focus on you here moving forward. And if Scott doesn't feel that way, I think he'll tell them. Mm-hmm. We're going to put this together, a roster you're going to be featured in. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
And another thing, why do we assume or think so little of Zach LaVine that he would automatically take offense to that or look at that as a negative? Mm-hmm. Like, that's something that we do a lot.
Basketball players are. I don't think it's a Zach LaVine thing. I think basketball players, I mean, as a whole, we believe are fragile.
He got called, like, he got questioned whether or not he's a winning player on national television. Like, that's, we can, I like what, and I completely understand exactly what Perry was saying in the clip. I don't think Perry was overly hostile or aggressive by any means, but on national television, he questioned whether or not you can win basketball games with Zach LaVine or if Zach LaVine actually contributes to winning. Like, that is a pretty significant criticism for a guy that's making almost $50 million a year. And now that guy is on your roster. So I'm not saying he had to necessarily put out fires, but let's not pretend like he didn't say something pretty significant about arguably the guy that he's most stuck with on this roster right now because of the contract situation.
Like, that's fine. There's another guy he's stuck with too, and I could ask the same questions about.
And
I don't know that Domas amounts to winning.
I agree, but that's also one of the guys that is pretty well known that didn't like Mike Brown for Mike Brown's accountability. And he had a problem with some of the things Mike Brown was saying. So this is my point. Like, is he going to be able to hold his center accountable if his center's refusing to shoot the basketball in meaningful games? But, like, Like this is my point. Like, we can dance around everything if we want to. This buzzword of accountability around the league has been here for years, but there has been very inconsistent accountability for years. So I am hoping Scott Perry will be different because he's the general manager, because his approach is very different from Monty McNair's, who is a lot quieter and more in the shadows. It's a GM approaching it, not a head coach approaching it. But it is more than fair and more than reasonable for anybody to question whether or not there actually will be accountability held in this organization when that buzzword's been around and the execution has not been there. And the last guy to actually, I think, like really do it, lost his job pretty quickly. And like, I'm not making this up. This is how it's been.
And that's why I asked you a question or presented a situation before. I'm going to be overly dramatic just for the sake of the argument. But if the guy is saying, Domas, your sorry ass needs to listen to me because you haven't won anything in this league, and I'm the guy that has 5 championships and all this other stuff, you need to do like the presentation matters.
Sure.
So accountability is one thing. If you are disrespecting people, or if you're dismissing people, or you're not getting them to understand what you're saying because your presentation is not good enough, it's not necessarily about the accountability. It could be about, you know, this is how you deal with people, and they're not feeling that. And I'm not saying that was Mike. Once again, I preference it by saying I'm being dramatic for dramatic sake. But we don't know what his ability to preach accountability was. It could have been just a bad person-to-person interaction that people don't want to deal with.
Yeah.
That could have been the case. So, but it's not, I don't think it's fair, and this may not matter. I don't think it's fair to just say the last time somebody tried to hold people accountable, he got out of here. If he was like being a jackass to everybody, that probably holds more weight than them trying to hold people accountable.
Well, it could also be.
I put weight in results like that. I just look at results. Like, I think the whole crux of this conversation, Casey, we could be having these exact same back and forth about something completely separate, but based on the same premise of, I don't give them the benefit of the doubt anymore. They don't deserve it. They don't. They do not earn the benefit of the doubt. I look at the results. I look
the
at
results
1 year.
Who? Okay. You're talking about
the entire
team.
Organization.
I got you.
But and when the reason why I defend Mike Brown so adamantly, I'm not saying Mike Brown was perfect. I've never said Mike Brown was perfect. Look at the freaking results. Mike Brown is the common denominator to the only success this organization has had. That's it. The most common denominator to the dysfunction is the guy that's still here in ownership, and that's fine. Like, he's going to be.
But
here.
Let me ask you something. What happened the first 31 games of this season?
I think the issues that were not properly addressed with the roster continued to come out. I do not think Mike Brown did a perfect job by any means. I think Mike Brown was still facing the repercussions of how he handled certain players the season before. The mistake that I think Mike Brown made over anything, and a lot of people are immediately going to jump to Keon Ellis, and it's not Keon Ellis. Mike Brown tried to turn this team into something that they're not instead of emphasizing their strengths. I think that's something that Doug Christie does really, really well. But just because Doug Christie tries to emphasize a team's strengths doesn't mean that he can help get that team across the finish line. Mike Brown put too much of a focus, in my opinion, on, and I don't know why the hell we're still talking about Mike Brown, but here we are. Mike Brown put the emphasis and the focus on trying to turn this team into a better defensive team, which in theory is good, but he sacrificed too much on the offensive end. But yes, the first 30 games of this season were not good. Like, the Kings were what, 5 games under 500, or is it 6 games under 500 when he was fired? Five games under 500. I'm not saying Mike Brown was doing a great job and got fired out of nowhere, like completely blindsided. It wasn't like a Taylor Jenkins situation or a Mike Malone situation. We established this on this show. When
I don't think
those
guys were fired out of nowhere either, but
either way, their teams weren't in winning positions, or their teams were in winning positions. Yeah. Mike Brown wasn't. That aspect and that element at least made sense. My whole crux of the issue was Mike didn't have to be the first domino to fall. I think Mike would have done a better job if some of the moves that were made after Mike was fired were done beforehand. Maybe I'm wrong, but again, I look at the common denominator of Mike had success here. He was one of the only guys to have success here. And I also have a pretty good understanding of how things changed for Mike and for this organization after that first year when there was more autonomy than there was years two and years three. Call that an excuse, call it what you want. It just, that's what I've heard. That's the basis of I'm going off of different conversations with different people that I've had. So the first 30 something games, it was not going well. It was not going right. But I also know the line in the sand was starting to be drawn, not a hard line necessarily, but there was a line, clearly a divide in the locker room amongst players and people with where the direction of this organization should be. And I think the organization chose the wrong side. And here they are. And it compounded upon itself to where, like, I don't believe one of the takeaways I had from the press conference, guys, is, man, I really wish Scott Perry had been allowed to make a decision on De'Aaron Fox. Like, I think the Kings would have been in a way better situation, even if it was unsalvageable, even if De'Aaron Fox sat out for the rest of last season and got surgery. The Kings would have either not made the playoffs like they did anyway, and probably lost more games and held on to their draft pick. I understand if you're of the camp of just get it over with. I know Kenny is. Just get the pick to Atlanta and move on. I totally understand that side. But the Kings would be maybe in a better position draft-wise had De'Aaron shut it down. And even if the relationship is unsalvageable, I trust Scott Perry to make a better decision on how to trade De'Aaron Fox for a number of reasons. Number one, because of his experience. Number two, he's not constantly dealing with the threat of losing his job. And number three, he's not on a week and a half timeline like the trade deadline was. So it, to me, Mike Brown was the unnecessary first domino to fall, and it knocked over a series of other dominoes that have put this organization in a position to where now Scott Perry has to come in here and clean up the mess. But it seems like based off his time in other places, he's been kind of an expert at cleaning messes up.
When you you asked why we're still talking about Mike Brown, this is post-mortem at this point for the Sacramento Kings. We talk about anything here. The other thing, what should the first domino have been? Because you said they chose the wrong side. And correct me if I'm, please tell me if I'm wrong. The right side with Mike Brown. And in this scenario, again, please tell me if I'm wrong. You have to figure out something else to do with DeMar DeRozan, Domantas Sabonis, and one other guy. You have to figure out what to do with those guys. Is that the proposal? Is that those are the dominoes that should have fell and Mike Brown should have been here?
I think, like, even if you just did the Jake LaRavia and Jonas Valanciunas trades, I'm not saying that would have fixed the problem.
No, I hear you, but you have a month and a half from the time they fired Mike Brown to the trade deadline. Can you survive like that with players who do not want to play for Mike Brown for whatever reasons? I don't know what they are. DeMar DeRozan did not like Mike Brown. Mike Brown did not like Domantas Sabonis as a player. I don't know why he didn't. And Domas, I think, felt a way about Mike Brown, too. What do you do in that regard? You had two to three starters who were not feeling their head coach.
I guess you ride it out, or you try and shop.
That's how they got in this position, trying to ride it out. Because we go back even further. The summer, all those problems were there. And they said, no, just re-sign them, and we'll ride it out. We'll figure it out. And it started off, it got to a 13 and 18 start. You can keep doing that if you want to, but that's, to me, that's where everything started. They either should have moved on from those players in the summer and kept Mike Brown, or let Mike Brown walk. But they decided to just ride it out, and that's how you got to 13 and 18.
Well, I'm saying specifically ride it out to he said the next month until the trade deadline. Like, I'm not expecting a mid-season overhaul of an entire roster. That's just not realistic. But that's the position that you put yourself in. So in that month or whatever between that point and the trade deadline, and really it's like a month and a half, you start shopping and you start putting things out there. But here's also the reality too, is the organization was operating under this playoff mandate. Like that, and that's why I asked Scott Perry directly about it yesterday. I was like, has there ever been any kind of mandate or any kind of timeline? There was a mandate from ownership about making the playoffs this year. That is the reason why they made the decisions that they made. And it was a mandate by make the playoffs by whatever means necessary, which is why the possibility of this team winning two play-in games and making the playoffs as an eighth seed and then getting the Memphis Grizzlies treatment at the hand of the Oklahoma City Thunder was so concerning to me, because under that mandate, that would have been called a success. And I'm sorry, there's no success to that, in my opinion. So I think everything was done under this guise of making the playoffs at all costs, but there was clearly a lack of synergy within the entirety of the organization, front office, coaching staff, players, or whatever, about how to accomplish that. I just know who I'm trusting. I know whose side I'm picking. I'm picking the guy who actually got results when he came here, who also has the support of the star, who, even if the star is on the fence and doesn't necessarily know if he wants to be here or not, I understand all reservations of committing to De'Aaron Fox and not wanting to pay De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox was the dude here, and he, you know what side he was on, and you chose against that, which is fine. That's the direction of the organization that you chose to be on, but you're going to be ridiculed for that, especially when you've not had any success outside of it.
Do you want to say something?
No.
Do you feel like he got the job done the second year?
Mike?
Yeah.
And the Kings? Yeah. No.
Okay.
Of course not. They missed the playoffs. There are a set of very specific circumstances that he has to take ownership for. I thought he mishandled the Kevin Huerter situation completely. I thought the Chris Duarte saga was bad, and I know Chris Duarte was someone that Mike Brown believed in. I also know that the front office did not do anything to address the size, length, and athleticism, which shockingly Scott Perry brought up in his press conference, by the way. Who'd have thunk? Because everybody realizes this is a problem. You lost six times the same damn basketball team because you couldn't match up with them. Like, and over the course of that season, too, Mike Brown was the first guy to play Keon Ellis. Mike Brown was the first guy to give Keon Ellis a shot. So there was good and bad from that season. Ultimately, it played out the way that they did, but they still won six more games than they won this year.
While yo-yoing Davion Mitchell, who looks great in the playoffs right now, which Mike Brown played in the previous playoff. I don't know what that – and I think that, without talking to players, that might be the most frustrating thing. Some days you will play us.
No, I can tell you, players have said that to me on radio shows before. Not knowing what you're doing on a night-to-night basis as a player is brutal.
You wouldn't play Davion for five straight games, and all of a sudden
playing 30 minutes.
30 minutes and all this other stuff. Same thing with Terrence Davis and Keon when he played. That was a frustration. The whole crux of what we talked about, though, Matt, is 100% fair on your part, and people who feel the way you feel, is this organization, Vivek specifically, has not earned the right to get the benefit of the doubt that just because you bring in a Scott Perry and he is accomplished, that, oh, it's all good, Vivek, like you did a good job. Like, no, we'll say you do a good job when you got 45, 50 wins in a season, not just at a press conference or not just because you made a hire because you think this is the right. You haven't, to your point, Matt, you haven't earned that.
Yeah.
There's been too much failure here. There's been too much lack of success here for anybody to sit here and say, oh, good job. It's just great.
Yeah.
I get it.
Matt, I get it. We have to go. The insiders are coming up with their draft special. When will you be happy? We want a happy Matt George. Is Matty McQueen ever coming back? Is Matty McQueen gone forever?
As soon as I pop the cap,
okay.
Pop the cork.
All right. Well, Matt clearly not happy with me. So one day we're going to make Matt happy, and he's going to have fun, and he's going to love this. We're going to head out to the insiders, man. They are doing a live draft day preview special. That's coming up next on the radio, on the Odyssey app. If you're watching on YouTube, switch over to one of those two channels. Again, 1320 AM or on the Odyssey app. And we will see you back here tomorrow beginning at 10 AM on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, 49ers!